This episode is brought to you by ITVX. Whatever it is you're looking for, from hard-hitting drama to side-splitting comedy, ITVX marks the spot. There's so much to discover, like the total comedy genius show Changing Ends, starring little old me, Alan Carr. Or the groundbreaking new relationship show My Mum, Your Dad, hosted by Davina McCall. Stream free with ITVX, the UK's freshest streaming service.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you were giving thanks. Hope you squashed some beef with some family members or listened to some insane conspiracy theories from your aunt you didn't know was still alive. Truly hope you had a great time off. And now we're back into the swing of things before the holidays hit again. Santa's probably getting ready, doing some bumps of coke to travel the world. I don't know what he does. But I will be playing Santa on an upcoming episode of Take Your Shoes Off with Rick Glassman, so look out for that. As well as a very special Bad Friends episode. I will be going on that as well, so stay tuned for that. And of course, the Bad Friends make their Dr. Phil Live appearance December 4th on YouTube. We taped it last week at the Comedy Store, and it's the most insane show I've ever been a part of, in the best way. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, December 4th, if you're around, tickets still available for Matt Rife and Dr. Phil Live at the Comedy Store December 4th at 8 p.m. Tickets at comedystore.com. I am on tour, of course. I will be with Sal Volcano this week in Elkhart, Indiana on November 29th, and then December 1st and 2nd at the Vic Theater in Chicago for Sal's special taping. Cannot wait. Come out and see us. SalVolcanoComedy.com for tickets. December 7th through the 10th, I'll be at the DC Improv. December 15th and 16th at Mic Drop in San Diego, and then December 21st to the 23rd at the new Desert Ridge Improv in Scottsdale, Arizona. All these tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. 2024, we're kicking it off with a bang. Tons of cities. Please go to AdamRayComedy.com for all those tour dates. And a big announcement coming in regards to my special and something else. So I can't wait. Stay tuned. But speaking of big shit, today's episode, holy hell, a blast from the past. One of my true favorite people on planet Earth. We go way, way back. USC, acting school, BFAs, Bachelor of Fine Arts. He's from Toronto. I'm from Seattle. We met in the middle. And man, do we have a good chat. A good homie catch up. But then just, it's always great to learn stuff about your pals that you didn't know or knew a little on the surface about. My guest today is Patrick J. Adams. You might know him from Old School. You might know him from the Right Place. He played John Glenn in a Disney Plus series about going to space. The Right On? The Hard On. Google Patrick Adams plus John Glenn. It's an amazing series. You might know him from Take Me Out, the amazing Broadway hit. Of course, you might best know him as Mike Ross from a little show called Suits, which I think has accumulated over 10 trillion hours of new viewership with its resurgence on Netflix. Check it out if you haven't seen it. One of the best shows of all time. And Patrick sits down to talk everything USC, Will Ferrell, getting Suits, shooting Suits, meeting his beautiful wife, Troyan, who was also on Pretty Little Liars at the time, fatherhood, anxiety, theater, getting into the biz, living in Toronto, growing up, influences around the biz, and then just a lot of goofs in between. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Follow Patrick on social media. We'll put a social media right here. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy at all the stuff. Of course, subscribe to the podcast at ALN Podcast. And of course, subscribe to the podcast on YouTube to get the video and all the goodies and clips. I'm posting best ofs every other week on my YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to the Adam Ray YouTube. Just dropped the Best of San Francisco Part 1 and Part 2. Of course, my special live from Portland and the Tony Caruso doc all up there, as well as the trailer for a documentary that I directed called Doug, which drops on my YouTube channel December 23rd. Check that out. We're going to put the trailer at the end of the episode so you can see that. But enjoy this episode, man. Pat's a legend, and it was just such a fun one to record. And come out and see me on the road, all right? That's it. Tour dates, Twitter handles, merch info, AdamRayComedy.com. Enjoy the special ALN episode with the one and only Patrick J. Adams.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
About Last Night.
I think there's a blessing and a curse to having folks that are so involved. And then also like what your mom did, which was just like, good luck, you'll be fine. Because then you have to kind of...
She really instilled in me, like, I'm not going to do this for you. Like, if you want this... And I think she also understood how hard this business was. I mean, she didn't know anything about it, but from afar, you know how hard it is. Yeah. I think she could see, like, you're going to have to do it on your own. Yes. And anyway, so get used to it.
Yes.
I think that had been instilled in her as a kid, too. Like, you know, we're here to support you mentally, emotionally. But beyond that, like, you've got to go fight for what you want to do. So it did instill in me, like, a... This is up to me. Like, only I am going to be the one to make this happen.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great. And it still serves me today, I think.
All right. There's a lot to cover here.
Let's get into it.
I fucking love you.
It's been a long time. When was the last time we saw each other?
I think there's the seeing each other, and then there's probably
since college.
But I knew this was going to happen. I was telling my wife this, and who's obsessed with you? A little too much.
First of all, I didn't know you're married. So yeah, congratulations. How long?
A year. We just celebrated a year.
Nice.
So it's new.
Congrats. What's her name?
Amanda.
Hell yeah.
Met her in AZ. And then she moved here. We met at a...
AZ's Arizona.
Yes.
I'm Canadian, so I just need to confirm that.
Oh, yeah. What are the big things like that? And then we'll get back to my wife. The things that are in the States that when you moved here from Toronto were like... Oh, you guys say that, or I need to pick up on that.
It was all what I said. I said boots and sorries, and
I do remember them being a little heavy.
I didn't have A's. I didn't really do A, but I had a lot of boots and sorries.
I thought you said A's for a minute. And I was like, I knew you didn't
have
A's.
I didn't have A's.
Yeah, I don't think you still do. So when you came over, it was an accent thing or a dialect thing.
I didn't hear it, right. But I would get made fun of mercilessly from the Sean Burys of the world. My friends would beat it out of me. So I think by like sophomore year, it was gone.
Wow.
Yeah. It took about a year, I think.
Just in time to rap in Vinegar Tom.
You know, You sent me a photo.
So Pat and I went to USC together.
Yeah.
And
let's give them the full breakdown.
I think we're about a year apart, right?
Yeah.
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 And so much to cover there. But yeah, I sent you a picture from a show we did called Vinegar Tom.
No memory of it whatsoever.
Awesome.
Like, as soon as you sent it to me, I mean, first of all, this is a cancelable photo. I mean,
is it?
Well, I don't know. We're
white dudes,
like,
rapping.
We're doing like a very... I mean, it's not cancelable.
We're doing Toronto and Seattle's version. I'm wearing a sleeveless Gap sweater.
It's
bold
rough.
Choice.
It's rough. It's rough.
You were in shape to be able to rock some no sleeves.
Absolutely not.
Oh, really?
You're being very kind, but no. Okay. There was no shape going on whatsoever. Yeah. It was just puffy. I don't remember like that moment. You know, when you see a picture and you're like, I do not have a recollection of that moment.
Totally.
I have a recollection of that time. I remember music. I remember Vinegar Tom.
Yeah.
I remember Marlo Tetweiler churning butter.
Yep.
I remember playing drums.
That was
at
most
one point.
Of school, though. She was always
churning butter.
Butter
all the time. That was all I remember of that. So when you sent me that photo, I was like, whoa.
Isn't it crazy? So you probably hadn't even thought about that. That's what's crazy about life is sometimes you don't even think about that thing. Once you start to accumulate experiences and memories, you're like, I just need one blip to take me back there. But it'd probably been...
How much do you remember about college? Do you have good... I feel like I've listened to...
My mom's watching everything.
You have a lot... I feel like I've listened to a lot of your podcasts. Oh, you have really good recollection.
Pretty good. I have a pretty good photographic mem.
Like my character on the show.
Yeah, baby.
I don't remember anything really. Wow. I mean, it's just bits and pieces. But like, that's a perfect example. You showing me that photo, and I'm like, it opens up a whole like experience, a play. We did a whole production.
What I remember about it, and I'll tell you, just speaking about it for the first time, really, hot exclusive.
The way you get the Vinegar Tom behind the scenes. Those Carol Churchill behind the scenes.
This is what we brought you on here for, Pat.
Just a couple of BFA, old BFA students.
Talk about the old shows. Lara Zane directed it. Uh-huh. I remember it was, I think you and I were the only dudes.
Yeah.
I want to say. There might
other than like Sayla, Sayla's husband, our friend Sayla's husband,
yes.
Who was a musician. He was doing the music.
Yes. But you and I were the witch hunters, and I think the story
See,
was.
See, I didn't know that. Awesome. I didn't know we were witch hunters.
Awesome.
Oh, God. There's got to be a video of this
good.
Somewhere.
You were that good that people
were
like, you
thing
know,
is
Pat
I'm
doesn't
so
even
in
know
it.
What the show is or who is.
I'm so
oh,
in it.
Who he's playing.
It's to this day. It's like when I'm in the work, man, I'm just so in the work.
I did just hear you say in some interview, which, by the way, I want to give you kudos to all that stuff. You're very, and I was telling you this before we started, and it's why I think we connected then and have stayed connected, reconnected, that your quick wit and your ability just to kind of stay in the bit boat, as I like to say. So you're doing it right away through text, and you did then too, and that's why I was like, oh, cool. A, I'm getting to do a show that was, you know, the BFA program, they, what was special about it is that you got shows each semester to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was part of the allure to, like, be accepted, is that you auditioned just for your parts, right?
But were we doing that play? Again, this is so disinteresting, cut it all out.
No, no.
But were we... What I remember about Vinegar Tom is, like, we were, like, added to it. It was, like, a whole Zane world, and then it was, like, weren't we put into it? And that's partly why I don't remember it, because it wasn't, like, we were in rehearsals for everything. We were, like, added to it at the end to be, an extra layer of something.
I know we were there at least for some tech, because I remember also, too.
That's it. We were just there for the tech. I think we were added in to rap a song, and that's why... You know, that, and I've just burned holes in my brain, I guess. I don't remember.
I remember
things,
you being super cool, smoking cigs in the back of the scene, Doc.
Standard.
And I was just like, man.
I'm still down there.
Bro.
There's a part of me that's still smoking cigarettes behind the scene, Doc.
That, I remember I was like, I'm going to have to start smoking cigs at one point. I'm just a joint guy at this point.
Oh, no, did I bring you in? Did I, like, pull you in?
I think I definitely probably took a few puffs, but I couldn't... It just did damage to my lungs. I was not cool with the inhale, and you guys were so.
You smoked a lot of pot, though. You were
towards
pot.
The end.
Towards the end,
because then I lived with Tori and Adam Westbrook and Jake, and Tori dealt it.
I always wish I could smoke pot. I couldn't.
You never could.
No, I did. I just was terrible.
You're better off.
I got very paranoid. I'd freak out. I was not a cool hang. And I was always jealous of you guys because I felt like you could do it.
But this could be why you've been on so many successful programs. And I had two lines in Barbie.
No. No, you're
or
doing
leave it.
Great, man. You're doing great.
So, okay, I want to, the ESSDIE experience, I guess, before we get there, Toronto, you're growing up a young kid. And if you've answered some of these things, I try to not. Rehash.
You're
going to
get the real answer. Okay. It's all lies.
I love that. That's what I was going to compliment you on in the interviews. You're great. You're funny. I feel like those questions sometimes in interviews when they're 4.5 minutes, it's like they're not even listening. They're just like, here's the question.
It's the worst. When someone interviews you and they ask a question and then they just sort of like stare off as you answer.
It must have been crazy to play John Glenn.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
Did you like Space as a kid?
Oh, I'm really happy you asked me that. And then their eyes just drift while you answer. Or they nod. They just keep nodding with this like plastic smile.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rough.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to
don't
give you...
Don't you do that. Don't you stay with me.
I'll try to phrase it a little differently. I guess, and I'm sure a lot of people are curious, what was, I guess, the, not even the first thing, but like growing up, was there, and I heard you say Back to the Future, movie-wise.
Yeah.
But like, was there even a, you know, for me, I can pinpoint certain comedic performances or even, you know, stand-ups to go, oh, that definitely... It's always tough to go. That was the moment the switch flipped. But do you remember something specific that you go, oh, I always go, that got me started?
I always say Back to the Future, but I just watched that Michael J. Fox doc. Have you seen that?
No,
still?
Is it great?
Oh my God, so good. And I realized it was him. It wasn't Back to the Future. It could have been any movie. That just happened to be the big movie at the time when I was a kid, and it just hit the right way. But watching that, it made me realize there was something about him. You know, it was that I was just sort of coming online in terms of like what do I want to do? What's possible?
Yeah.
What's fun? I don't want to do what my parents do. Something that kind of looks kind of boring. And you know, what's going to be my thing? And there was something about Michael J. Fox at that moment where it was just like he was hitting his, you know, zenith. Like there were 3 hit movies in a row or whatever. And the film gets into this. And, you know, he's from Canada. It's, again, I didn't process this, any of it, like, at the time.
Oh, yeah.
From Canada. He's sort of a dorky kid, which I think I related to. He wasn't this, like, machismo movie star.
Yeah.
He was sort of what I felt like I was, sort of like a misunderstood kind of dorky kid. Mm. And suddenly he was this movie star. And I was just like, I think as a young kid, I was just like, that's a thing. Like, that's a path. I can do that. So that was my way in. And then, you know, from there, learning what real acting was all about and learning about the great performers and watching a ton of old movies. And my dad was great at that, introducing me to, like, you know, Paul Newman movies and Robert Redford movies. And
I think that is probably a good starting point if you're and you were at what age when you started to kind of get the bug, I guess?
I was like 6 or 7 when I was like, no, I wasn't a young child actor because, again, my mom was just like, I'm not. That's
taking you to auditions.
Yeah. That's not going to be what we do.
Your friend can be the
apple
juice
kid. She's like, good luck. You figure it out.
It's
exactly.
Not your path.
There was no, I had no actual way to pull it off. But I knew early, maybe a little later, maybe like 8, 9, 10, that's what I wanted to be doing.
It's a big move for your pops to show you like films then, because I feel like that's just like opening you up to being like, Well, if you like that,
yeah. I think you just got tired of watching bad movies too. It's like, if I got to sit through these, we're going to watch the better movies.
There's only so many times I can hear the soundtrack from Fern Gully.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I loved Fern Gully.
Great movie.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. Yeah. So I think that was the inroad.
And then classes
was
or no? At what? Not till high school, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't really till high school. Yeah, I can't remember. I don't
and
think
you had
I
nobody
did
in the business. No family ties to the...
No family in the business. I was in high school. It was really high school when it came together because I went to go visit high schools in the Toronto area, and there was this one high school that had this theater program that was designed by this woman, Debbie Barton Moore. She remains one of the most important, you know, wonderful people in my life. And she was this incredible theater teacher, and she just had this like one corner of my high school is like 2,500 kids. It was huge. And there was just this like one corner of one floor that they painted all the walls black and put carpet on the floor. And it was like two classrooms, and that was the theater area.
Cool.
And the rest of high school was just a gong show, and I was getting bullied and beaten up and didn't know what the hell to do with myself. And then I'd go to that classroom, and I'd felt like I had a place that I belonged, you know?
Wow.
And it was just a whole different vibe back there. And so I'd already known before I got there that, like, this is what I wanted to do. That was part of the reason I wanted to go to that high school. But really being immersed in that there... And seeing how kids would change when they were treated. Like, you'd go into that room, and the teacher was just Debbie. It wasn't Miss Barton Moore.
Right.
You'd take off your shoes. You'd sit on the ground. You'd answer, you know. I mean, you remember the vibe.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You'd ask, like, answer question, the question of the day instead of doing attendance. Like, it just chilled you out. And you were like, whatever this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'll commit my whole life to it. Because that out there is just madness.
Get it, you truly beat up like a high school movie?
Oh, I got beaten up a lot. Yeah,
throwing lockers?
I got punched like two or three times.
Just for
it
what?
Wasn't it wasn't horrific. Oh, I just was an easy target. Michael J. Fox type.
Yeah.
I was just
Did
I was not
biff?
Strong. Yeah, yeah, I had a biff.
Wow.
Who I became friends with later in high school, actually. You know, I was just an easy target. I was very insecure, and I just think bullies find kids like that. And and I didn't know how to stand up for myself, and more importantly, I didn't have my thing. I was just like, I didn't know what, I knew that I was interested in theater for the beginning of high school, but I didn't really get to do any shows yet.
What if
like,
that's
I didn't
why,
come out of the shell.
Yeah. What if that's why bullies attack kids? It's like they, most people think bullies feed on insecurity, but you just saying you didn't have your thing. Maybe he was being like, you gotta fucking
you
find
your
passion.
Thing. You find it. Let me light that fire for you.
I mean, definitely not why they do it, but.
But it's weird. We became friends later because I found theater and realized I was pretty good at it, and I started directing plays and doing things at school, and like in a way you're in a sort of star rises at school, and people are like, oh, you're doing a thing and it's cool. And I came out of my shell a bit, and at some point he ended up like wanting me to like write, like we worked together in theater class, and I wrote a part for him in a play, and we did a little like one act together.
Wow,
that was
dude.
About bullying, you know, like even at that age I like had a real sense of like poetic irony or something. So I was like, let's do a play about bullying.
Was it
and
cool?
You really see what you've done to me.
Was it cool to, I know for me as well, like once I started to, same thing, man, find the theater world, musicals were big in our high school. So we'd take field trips going there in elementary school to the high school.
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal. So I remember in the lobby meeting the cast after being starstruck.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's Mrs. Pigglewiggle. And they're like, her name's actually Mary Pupko. And you're like, fucking quit breaking the fourth wall for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's Pigglewiggle.
That's Pigglewiggle. And you won't convince me otherwise. And then getting to be in those shows and seeing that same thing with the kids and doing those matinees for the schools was very cool. But also finding like the thing that you're going.
And you find your people. You
totally.
Find like I found my tribe.
And yourself.
You know? And in finding them, I found myself. Yeah. I just was like, oh, like I can be this person. And I just felt, you know, like all of us when we find our thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I can breathe in a way that I couldn't before.
Did you have a pretty cool crop that you kind of came up with and did shows
we
with?
We thought we were cool.
Totally.
I don't know how cool
I think
we
every
were.
Class
Yeah, there was definitely like a group of people. And again, like Debbie was an amazing woman. There's all these sorts of people who have gone on to really interesting careers in theater and film and television. A lot of like really good Canadian theater actors that came through that program. So she like gave birth to a lot of these like amazing artists by creating that environment. But yeah, we had a great crew of people, and I think we did a lot. Like we were doing weird shows.
Oh, really?
Did you ever see, I directed a play called Murat Sa. Do you remember that? After
yes.
School? Did you come and see it?
Yes, I did.
Eggold was in it.
Yes, I did.
Crazy play. It's the longest name of a play, I think, ever.
Yeah, what theater was that at? It was...
It was at the Sacred Fools Theater, the persecution and assassination of Jean-Paul Marat.
Oh, yeah, dude.
As performed by the inmates of Charenton under the direction of the Marquis de Sade is the full name of the play. It's about
shortened down to
French revolutionary, you know, post-French revolution inmates in an asylum putting on a play by the Marquis de Sade about the French Revolution. And it's a musical. It's insane. It's the craziest thing
bonkers.
Ever.
Bonkers.
And it's amazing and it's beautiful.
Eggold was great.
He's so good. And we did that in high school. I know that play because we did it in high school. Wow. That's the kind of thing that this program is doing in high school.
So you weren't doing Into the Woods like we were.
We did, like, I think another year we did like Midsummers or something. Right. But like everybody kind of yawned at it. They like wanted these like weird renegade plays. So yeah, it was a cool place to come up. A lot of neat people.
A lot of backstage back rubs.
A lot of back rubs. I live for the back rubs.
What a fucking fun. That's a universal thing in all theater programs.
Just people rubbing each other's back.
Just
taking
sexually,
care of each other.
I mean, balled up and just not, everyone's not, I think, truly dialed in yet to what they're capable of.
So uncomfortable. So awkward.
So uncomfortable. But
it's just a lot of yearning at that age. It's just it's a lot. Sweaty yearning.
Sweaty and hugs and a lot of dancing when you're like, I remember dancing. We start the fire sing-alongs and just, dude. I mean, and sometimes you'd see back rubs and you'd be like, oh, they're definitely together. And then it's like, no. And then literally, I remember sometimes it'd be during the show, I mean, we had bonkers things happen where, like, there was a crazy guy that walked in through the back during Into the Woods, and it was a homeless guy.
Just a random
homeless
guy.
And he walked on stage and started eating the bread that was in the baker's during, they were singing.
Free bread.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
And I remember him grabbing it, and I'm side stage. He walked by me, and I remember just going, like, and froze because I was like, you can't go. And then he just walked straight onto stage, and then I was like, oof.
Now this is theater. Here we go.
Totally. And he grabbed a piece of bread and he started eating it. And then they didn't acknowledge him, which I thought was
the
a bold
audience
choice.
Or the people on stage.
The people on stage.
Oh, okay.
Because an amazing, but no one's that savvy improv wise. I think that there were a couple gems, but
just ignore it.
Nobody was.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. It's a T-Rex.
Yeah.
He can't see if you don't acknowledge
him. We don't move.
So he started eating the bread. And then I just remember so vividly, he started to like dance to their song. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Genius.
Like, stop assuming that homeless guys don't have rhythm.
Yeah, he moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got bread in him now. He's good to go. He's
all he
energy.
Did was a carb, dude.
I loved it, man. I mean, it was, like I said, like all these stories, you know, it was just like, oh, this is where I belong. With the weirdos and the fun people. And
is that why you, when you got to SC, I mean, you know, I think first memory of us like really jamming was when you created Brand New Theater.
Didn't create it.
Well, you were
thank
part
you.
Of it.
I ran it. I ran
you
it.
Ran
brand
it.
New. So Brand New Theater was the largest, student run theater organization, and it was sort of the reason I stayed. I wanted to go to New York when I started auditioning for schools.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get into NYU, and I got into USC. I had always imagined myself as a New York guy. I loved theater. I didn't know anything about film and television.
Yeah.
USC was just sort of like a place that I applied to because I was like, oh, let's do that too.
Business is
I think at the time it had like one school of the year, didn't it? Like before we got there. So I just assumed I was going to go to New York and then I didn't get in. And I was like, what? And then I ended up at USC and the entire first year I was just like, this is not for me. Like I'm not a California guy. Mm. And I just was sort of the whole time wishing I was somewhere else. The thing that saved me was Brand New Theater. This like little theater, not little, I mean, it was huge at the time. And it was a place for us all to just put on the weird, crazy plays that were coming out of our heads.
Yeah, it was genius.
Yeah, and it was amazing. And
because everything was run by, I mean, Brand New Theater was all run truly by students.
Student run, student written, student directed, student produced, student acted in. We did everything. There was not a teacher involved, and we only did original work. And so a lot of it was bad and whatever, but that was the point. And it was just sort of. It feels a little like what you like. It's just the fun of it. It's
totally
like just throw yourself in the mix. And I miss it because I don't have anything in my life that's much like that anymore. But watching your videos, I'm like, oh, man, that's the thing I miss. That just like creating
the
moment.
Up,
and in the moment.
Yeah.
And like just going with it and being in a room full of supportive people who are there for it. It was, when they gave me that, it was at a point where I was deciding whether I was going to go to New York or not, like if I was going to leave and try and get out of here. And they said, would you like to run Brand New Theater, essentially? And I thought, okay, I'll stay for that. And that's what kept me in LA at the time.
I mean, let's just talk about David Riesenberg's
The Mouse Musical,
Bumbly Dumb and Dumbly Town
in London Town,
Bumbly Dumb in London Town. Myself and Jake Siegel.
It was like a 2.5 hour musical, about,
maybe more,
about mice. And I was running the board. You remember?
Oh,
I
yeah,
was like
dude.
Producing it or whatever. Oh, but yeah. I was running the light board, and I remember I was up there. Maybe a little stoned, I don't remember, but sure. I was like, nobody could touch the board. Yeah. I was like, for 2.5 hours, I was like, lights up.
Which is how you should down. Be. You were like Danny yes. McBride in Tropic Thunder.
Yes, exactly, like exactly, yeah. exactly. I was orchestrating the whole thing.
That was, and I'm not even joking, one of the, if not the best theatrical experience at SC for me.
Really?
Oh, 1,000, because exactly, I had come from, you know, making dumb home movies in high school. And yeah. then when I got to SC, I was trying to find a way to keep doing that and flexing that muscle. And I'd met with some people at Annenberg, at the School of Television, and the and they had some shows. And I tried to, you know, I forced my way into getting a radio show on Sunday nights on the station.
Yeah, I remember that station.
From like midnight to 2 a.m. And then I got canceled after 6 weeks because I wasn't screening calls. So I'd be hosting it as this English guy named Niles Barnfather. Just to
no
work out dumb stand-up bits, and also, and my friends.
Well, you were into stand-up at that time. You were already
yeah.
doing it.
Not
you
doing it, knew. Just into it.
But you knew.
I would do a few coffee house things with Rutherford, but not anything to really call
That's
myself
so
a
cool.
comic. It was
so
still
cool.
just like, I was still very much like, it's too scary.
Yeah.
And I know what is required to like fully jump in.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And
but,
glad
but you're working it out on the radio. You're trying stuff.
Totally. Yeah. yeah. And then, but there was just so much, like we were saying, like creating from the ground up, and the fact that it was all students was really cool. And it was a really cool thing to like see you at the helm, and you're a peer. And then Riesenberg wrote it with a couple other gangsters, and then the music was all students.
So it was insane.
That was mind blowing, yeah. and added to the excitement of it all, where it was like, man, there's no but like there's no parents allowed type shit. But it was also
but there's
fucking
no one...
funny, and it was a cool story, and the music was great, and I'm doing it with my best friend
yeah.
is playing opposite me. I mean.
To me, it was like the gift of, I was like, this is the coolest part of this school.
Yeah.
I struggled with that school. I mean, it's a very wealthy, obviously,
yeah.
school. And it just wasn't my vibe, that place. Mm. But that, I was like, we are just given a theater where we're allowed to do whatever we want
yeah.
for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we can just make this thing up. It's good. It's bad. Some of it's funny. Some of it doesn't work. But it was just free reign. It was cool to do all the other plays. It was cool to work on good material.
Yeah.
It was access to a ton of great teachers. All of that was
oh, yeah.
great. For me, that was the selling point. I was like, they're just letting us go buck wild and do really weird things and figure out for ourselves what works and what we like and what we don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, you
so
arguably
cool.
get more out of, I think, doing that. I mean, it's what they probably told some of the film students, right? Like, you can sit here and listen to all the, you know, stuff we're going to throw at you, but
yeah.
get out there and start making stuff.
Yeah,
right?
You got to do it. You got to do it.
So
that was fun.
Yeah, that was awesome, dude. That's great. I had a similar, I mean, yeah, SC, college is such just a tricky thing. There's so much you're balancing. I mean, you think about now, like, just life and being a little older and more, you know, there's still so much uncertainty and our business is so, you know, flimsy and whatnot, and it's still all on you, right? And there's still so much out of your control, but like, It is crazy to even think, like, being in college and where you're, like, even now trying to balance work and relationships and family, I'm like, it feels a little more like I'm better about if I go home to Seattle, I'm like, I don't feel as bad that I'm not hitting everybody because I'm like, I got to be with the fam.
Yeah.
So that's nice
yeah.
to kind of have that, but still.
I'm always astonished just by how brave we all were.
Yeah.
Like, when I think of young, because I'm the older I get, like the more insecure I get, I think. Mm. Like the harder it is for me to leave the house and like put on my sort of sheet of armor and like get out there. And you know, it's a struggle. You have to like really do work to figure it out. And I'm just astonished at that age that we were all just like,
yeah,
whatever.
No fear.
Yeah. Like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like doing plays even. Like I got nervous to do like Blood Wedding or what bloody
oh, yeah.
poetry or whatever
yeah,
weird
yeah.
stuff we were doing that couldn't have been good. But I was like, whatever, let's go. And now it's like, that's why I'm so astonished by what you do. And I'm so curious what makes you nervous, because it takes a lot for me to like to get over that hump now
really?
That I'm older. Even though I've like accomplished more, or I have, you know, now like there's a bit of a career behind me. In some ways that makes me more nervous, because
I
feel like
ask.
I have to like protect that
oh,
special
wow.
thing or whatever, rather than like, who cares? I got nothing to lose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So when you, I mean, doing, let's, I mean, just, when you did Broadway, the name of the show again?
Terrified the whole time.
What
yeah,
it?
Take Me Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were terrified, but that, I mean, that was, A, you're on Broadway. What was terrifying about it?
Well, first of all, I had to be naked for a good portion of the play.
Right.
So that was the perfect embodiment of all the terror. I hadn't done a play in...
Since Vinegar Tom.
Six.
You're going to have to rap and be buck naked. And Adam won't be there.
God, that would have been great. If you were there, I would have been fine. Yeah. I hadn't done a play in 6 years. The last play I'd done, I'd had a full panic attack on stage.
No way.
My first time that had happened to me. Like, I just meltdown. I managed to get through the play, but it was really like one of the worst experiences in the world. Have you ever had a panic attack? Like, like where you just suddenly like can't talk anymore? Has it happened to you on stage?
No, more just from being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But never on stage. On stage you're in the zone.
I think a lot of comics will attest to this. It's a, I'm not someone that's more, some people are just more comfortable on stage, and then off stage they're just, you know, a little, not socially awkward, but just not as comfy.
Yeah.
I feel pretty comfy on both, but I definitely feel, and it's just with the reps and trusting yourself. And once you get a point of view so that you know, like being able to
point of view,
handle
that's
stuff.
Great.
Yeah. But not ever a panic attack. But also, I guess the panic attack would come. I have had moments early on with dealing with crowd things that I was just like, I don't know what the fuck to do. But I slowly started to kind of lean into that and not be like, and try to figure it out and go like, all right, I'm 4 years in. Don't expect to fucking have the answer here. Because that's one of the things, probably in any business, but comedy, especially young comics, just want to be so good so quick.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and probably think you're so good. Like, I got it. And then you get up there and you see how hard it is. And
I did a show at the main room of the store where I'll be tonight with this Dr. Phil show. Mm-hmm. And it was a bringer show. I brought a lot of people from SC to come. Yeah. 10 people, I could do 10 minutes. And Chris Rock popped in. Oh. I remember going to Facebook that night being like, open for Chris Rock tonight. And Bobby Lee, God bless him, sees me the next night and just started to get a little rapport with him. He goes, hey man, saw your Facebook post. No, you didn't. And I was like, what? And he was like, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
And it was such a great little
hey
man,
yeah.
It's not about that.
Yeah.
Focus on the shit you can control.
Yeah.
You're not doing it for that, are you? And I was like, but you get some of the people back home being like, I haven't seen you on a billboard yet. Are you sure you're still doing stand-up? And you're trying to feed that.
Yep.
And it's like,
it's so
getting
hard
over
to keep
that.
It all in perspective. Oh, yeah. Point of view, I like that. That's helpful to hear. That's how you sort of zone in.
But so how'd you deal with a panic attack on stage?
I don't know that I got through it. I had this moment. I almost went up on a line. I didn't even go up on it. I just almost went up on a line right at the beginning of the play. It was a quick back and forth between me and the other guy. My line was coming, and I just had this moment of like, I don't know what it is. And then at the last moment, it dropped in, and I said it. But then my brain went, you have so many more lines. Like, I could hear it. Whoa. And then all of a sudden, it was like my awareness of the 400 eyeballs on me instantly. And it was one of those plays where once it begins, I never left the stage. So I suddenly was just very aware, like,
trapped.
You're trapped here. And you're going to have to get through this show, and you are definitely going to miss a lot of these lines because something's wrong with you right now. And I guess I've learned now that that's just how panic attacks work. Like, once it starts, it just, you know, snowballs, which is why it was so cool to run into Neil, to be honest, because he's sort of a hero of mine in this department because of how, you know, open and vocal he is about the anxiety and depression.
Dude. That's what the podcast he does is.
I think it's amazing.
Do you watch it? Blocks?
Yeah. No, I haven't watched it.
So that's,
he's got a whole podcast about it.
Oh, man, it's one of my faves. He basically, I mean, he's had on from Letterman to Jim Jefferies just now to everybody. And it's basically, they're silly and funny because it's always comics, but he breaks down your blocks and goes through like what are the things that
so cool. I gotta listen.
Oh,
to that.
You're gonna love it, and I'll loop you guys and maybe you jam with them.
But, dude, I mean, I the only thing that has helped my anxiety since, because that began a whole journey for me of trying to figure out what's going on and how I can deal with it. And the only thing that really helps ultimately is talking about it. Which is great. Mm. And that's why people like him are, you know, kind of so
forefront.
Iconic.
Because
this is it. You just have to create a community, get people talking about it, make you realize that it's not that odd and everybody's dealing with it to some extent. But at the time, I had none of those tools. And I was just going up on stage every night and having a panic attack basically every night after that. So I left that play and I was like, I'm done. I'm not ever doing theater again. I was like, it's over. If that's what it's like something broke in me and I'd never go back. And then I proceeded to kind of not really deal with my anxiety for a number of years. And then Scott Ellis, the director of this play, came and, you know, I'd been trying to do a play in New York for years, Nobody wanted to hire me. I couldn't even get auditions there. And then all of a sudden he came up to me, and I think it was a result of this play that I had a panic attack. Funny enough, somebody had seen me in it.
Yeah.
And he said, we'd love you to come play this part and take me out of New York. And I was like, everything in me wanted to say no.
Of course.
Just no. Like, I can't do it again.
You couldn't
like,
even find a little bit of excitement?
I was excited they were asking, yeah. And I was honored. And you know, that's always a good feeling. But I was like, I got a panic attack the last play I did. And it was in the round in San Diego. Yeah. And I wasn't naked.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it. And then there was that other part of my brain that we know too well, which is like, you're really going to say no to Broadway?
Yeah,
like, even if you fail, you have to do it.
Yep.
Like, you have to say you did it. And I told Scott about that experience too, and he couldn't have been cooler, and said that he would walk me through it. And he said, look, you know, if you don't do this, then you'll never do it. You'll have given up on theater. So like, how about we do it? And so I agreed to do it, and it was hard. I mean, I had an amazing time, but it was really hard. Every night I was fighting to like, feel like I could be back on that stage and feel comfortable there.
Wow.
Again. Yeah.
For just all the reasons you explained, yeah, of just getting, you just couldn't get a comfy
groove. Just hyper awareness, yeah, like too aware, not yeah. really. There were certain nights it didn't. Like there were nights where I'd slide into it and I'd feel good, and I'd be like, oh, this is it. How do I just get here? And I would always be trying to find like the perfect alchemy of like, when did I eat food? How much did I sleep? What do I need? What are all the perfect things? And I could never figure out they'd line up. But just one day I'd be fine, and the next day I'd suddenly get in my head and it would be over. But it was a really good opportunity to prove to myself that I could do it.
Yeah.
I could get over it. It wasn't comfortable. I wasn't like having a blast. When people asked me about that time, it wasn't like, oh my God, Broadway was so fun. It was like work. It was like I had to be really careful every step of the way.
Do you think it was the material too? Like if it wasn't Take Me Out, if it was like, let's say there was a musical on the TV show Botched, and you were playing a doctor that was really almost Steve Martin in Little Shop of Horrors, and it's all women that have like, you know, I put too much from my butt into my boobs, and then you're the doctor that's singing. Even if it was silly like that, do you think you'd still be like, man, I'm hyper aware. I got to knit like.
Yeah, because silly, because I'm not like, I'm so in awe of comedy. Like, I don't know. It's not the most comfortable place for me to be. So probably it would have been even harder.
Yeah.
I think I'm like okay with comedy when no one's expecting it. And I can like put a little bit in.
Yeah.
But as soon as I'm in a place where there's funny people and everybody's sort of deciding that we're going to be funny today, that's a bad place for me to be.
Wait, yeah. So, all right. Piggybacking into or segueing into auditions, would that make you nervous, or how would you cope with
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we live in such a different world now, right?
Right?
Where auditions aren't even really a thing anymore. So it's hard for me to know. But yes, it was hard for me. I would get nervous. I also went through a huge period of time because of Suits where I wasn't auditioning as much. So I just got out of the rhythm of it. I was just in Toronto shooting.
Because they were just like, hey man, you want to do this? Do you want to do this?
No. Oh. I wasn't getting offers. Oh. I was just busy.
Oh.
No. I never, ever was in the like offer only business. I just came home from Suits. I was usually very tired and wanted to just hang out with Troy and be home.
The schedule was crazy.
Yeah, schedule was nuts. Then I'd go in and try and get good at auditions again for the like 3 months I was back from Suits.
Right.
I would always feel a little awkward, and then I'd be back at Suits. So I was not really working a ton between those seasons.
Was that, okay, so get out of SC. Right. I remember you were an old school.
First job. Yeah. Well, did you audition?
Oh, yeah.
You were part of that. There was a cattle call.
Oh, yeah. They put up a cattle call at USC for the old school movie with Vince Vaughn, Luke Wilson, Will Ferrell. I mean, no one thought it was going to. I mean, I guess maybe because Todd Phillips.
No, because Todd wasn't even like a proven.
He wasn't Hangover Todd yet. No.
He had done Road Trip. That was it.
Yeah, which was great.
Yeah. But it wasn't like what he is now, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember, a bunch of us went into the DRC and auditioned. And I remember, first of all, just it made me go, oh, that's what's cool about being at this school is things like that. Whether it was people being like,
oh my God,
do you want to go see movie premiere or screenings 2 months before it comes out was a cool thing. But that there was an audition right there. And then everyone was like, Patrick Adams is going to be in. And then I remember going to see it and I'm like, oh, you're in it. You're one of the fraternity brothers. You got featured scenes. It was fucking cool, man.
Well, it's funny. I was background the whole time.
Yeah,
but for 30 days. I mean, you don't get to do that often. I was a, what do they call us? The bullpen pledges. Mm. Do you know the story of that, though?
No.
Like, I, I, so we they did that huge cattle call. Yeah. I went in. You remember you were in the room for like 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I went in. Todd Phillips was there. He's like, it says you do a Scottish accent. I was like, I think he was just trying to mess with me. I was like, yeah, I could do that. He's like, do a little bit for me. I like did the lines in a Scottish accent. He kind of giggled for a second and then out the door. And I was like, okay, well, that's the end of that. No one's getting a part.
For me, he was like, I heard you're circumcised. And then we FaceTimed my mom. No, FaceTime was not yet.
Pull it down.
Just pull it down. I showed him. And then he was like, get out of here. That's looks weird. No, it, yeah, it was so quick.
I don't see it.
It clearly happened. I don't believe you. Yeah, and then did you play guitar for them?
No, so that had nothing to do with it. I just then they had a callback, and I remember like Rob Kirkovich was in there, yeah. Maybe Todd Waldman or something, and they just brought us into a room and like yelled at us. I think it was just like groups of guys. They were filming us, and someone was just sort of like saying things at us and yelling at us.
See how you react.
Seeing how we would react. Wow. We didn't have lines. I don't think we were even saying anything. They just wanted to see our faces.
Yeah.
Something. It was right before Christmas. That was gone. I walked out, and that was over. I didn't hear another thing. At the time, when you went to Canada, you had a different cell phone. Mm. So my cell phone in the States wouldn't work in Canada. So I went up, did Christmas with my family, came back to like in January 1st or whatever, and I had a message on my phone saying, where are you? We need to do a fitting. Shooting starts like January 8th or something. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Called them and went, yeah, you're one of the background, but you need to like figure it out. We're starting January 8th. You need to get in. You need to do. At the time, I was Canadian, not allowed to work in the States.
Wow.
Like, totally illegal. I hadn't figured any of that out because I didn't know. So I ended up having to sign up to do Old School as an internship through the school. I had to sign up for a course with all these other kids that were doing like an internship at a law firm, yeah, or an accounting firm.
Yeah.
I had to do my Old School experience as an internship. So I was like having to write papers about my time on the Old School
set. Just to
set.
Make it legit.
Coming back and everybody would tell them about the TPS reports they had filed. And they'd had a really successful week. And I'd be like, yeah, we watched two girls wrestle in a pool full of lube or whatever this week.
Oh my God.
It was nuts. It was nuts.
Well, and I guess, right, that's probably you playing guitar.
And that was accidental. They came up and they were like, who plays guitar? And I put my hand up and they were like, anybody else at all play guitar? I was like, no, I'm the only one. So like, all right, come on. And they just brought me over to Will Ferrell and they were like, okay, we got to learn Dust in the Wind. Can you learn Dust in the Wind by tomorrow? And I was like, I'll try, figured it out. And that was like my first real time again. Yeah, he couldn't have been cooler. I mean, I was petrified, you know? And he was Will Ferrell, but he wasn't Will Ferrell yet. But he was SNL Will Ferrell. And he was the nicest guy in the world. Cool. I'm not sure if you're friendly with him now.
I would love to be. I know people that know him and everything. He's one of those guys where you're like in all the talk shows and everything. And I've heard amazing stories.
Amazing, yeah. Amazing.
I mean, saw he just went back to his, I think, son's frat
party
at USC.
Yeah, at USC. I saw him, yeah.
I mean, that's cool even stays tied there.
Yeah, he could have been, I don't know, he could have been anything to me. Who was I at the moment? And he was super cool. He really helped calm me down because I think he could tell I was terrified. And then we had a ball. We did it.
Did you go see it with friends and fam? Was it?
Yeah, I saw it at the University Village. Remember?
What do you mean, remember?
Live long and pro.
I mean, we need to talk about this. So we have turned into...
It looks like Hogwarts.
Yeah. It's now, everything, I guess, gets better when you leave. More money gets dumped in.
It's not better.
It's not better.
No.
Nah, man.
No, what we had was better.
Man, there was a sub shop deep in there called...
that weird grocery store.
Weird grocery store that I... Oh, man.
They used to sell like Master P dolls. Oh, yeah. Talking Master P dolls. Yeah. Remember that?
Next to like weird Latino donuts.
Yeah.
Which was my nickname in middle school. And
that's when USC was cool, man, because it was this like insanely wealthy...
Yeah.
I mean, look, back when it was cool, man, but maybe it's cool now, but it was like you'd have the contrast of like this insanely wealthy school.
Totally.
And then right across the street was like that Mexican market.
Denny's.
And the Denny's. And it was just like, I don't know. I loved that contrast.
The
U
Village,
now you go down there and you are like at Disneyland.
Yeah, it's a Trader Joe's and there's a Lululemon. And it's like, and I get the upgrades to like, because of just, I don't know, things, more money gets put in to attract more money.
Yeah.
But U Village was I think two theater, two screens, and it was almost like brand new theater where I feel like it was run by students.
Oh man, yeah.
It was filthy. It was crazy. But locals that lived in downtown LA would go there.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Half Baked there with Jake Siegel and Tori.
Perfect.
And maybe Josh Epstein. And we we went there and everybody was baked. It was one of my first times being high around everyone, like strangers that were high. So everyone in line is giggling at each other because they're like, everyone just knows. And I remember the screen, the projector caught on fire 20 minutes into the movie.
No.
So
this is during Half Baked?
Oh, yes. Oh, and perfect. Everyone's full baked. And there was, I mean, the conversations around you.
People are just laughing. Theater's on fire. You're laughing.
Oh, well, not at first. The screen, all of a sudden, it's a ball of flame in the middle of the screen starts, and you see it starts to trickle, and people start, oh, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it just spreads through the whole screen. So the whole screen, just imagine, just burns. So everyone goes,
Wait. The actual screen burns or the film burns?
The film burns, but it looks makes the screen look like it's a special effect. Yeah, it makes it look like the
screen's on fire.
So that happens. Everyone goes, ah! Then what's the worst thing you could do to someone who's super high? Flip the lights on.
Oh, so now everybody.
You get this, the first layer of, ah, fire, and then lights on, ah, so an even higher freak out. And then you look down, and then you hear a third residual freak out when people realize they've dropped their snacks from being scared.
Oh, so, it's more of that.
And then you hear a voice come on, be like, everyone, please go to the lobby. The projector burned.
There was no intercom at the University of Illinois. No, it must have just been somebody yelling at
guy
from the
screaming
back.
In the back. Yeah. Who sounded like he had an intercom in his pipes.
Yeah.
And then nobody. That's the best part about having a debacle for a room full of potheads. No one's firing back. No. Everyone's just like, what do you mean?
I guess we got to roll with it, man.
Everyone's got, hey, we weren't meant to see it, you know, or whatever it is.
Not meant to be, man.
Yeah.
Who brought the hacky sack?
Oh, yeah. But that whole spot was special.
Dude, it was great. Yeah, and it was a fun place to premiere that movie for me. Like, perfect. Full circle.
Yeah, Mom, I'll be down in a minute. Just give me some space. I'm a man. Hey, guys, Adam Ray here. Boy, the holidays are getting to all of us, and what a better time to get some BetterHelp. And I'm talking about my friends at BetterHelp. Right now, if you go to, let's see, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight, you can get 10% off your first month. Now, what is BetterHelp? Well, it's the best online licensed therapist help therapy center in the world. What do? You fill out a questionnaire. They match you with a licensed therapist. You figure out what works best for you. The schedule is flexible. The times are easy. The help is better than what you're accustomed to. And that's why it's BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight to get 10% off your first month. I've been effing with these guys for quite some time. I needed somebody to talk to about a myriad of things in my life. And I finally figured out the way to do it that works best for my schedule. So when you're heading into these holiday seasons, money, time, jobs, family, it's all too much. You need somebody to vent to, and you don't want to put the burden on your loved ones or your dog, even if you blew weed smoke in his face on accident, and now he's actually a better listener than any human you've ever experienced. Don't do that. Don't do that to your dog. Don't do that to your family. Talk to BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight for 10% off your first month, and start feeling better about your life. And now, back to the episode. And fam and friends were all about it. Did you feel like, because again, I don't know how quickly Suits was after that.
It was a while. I mean, it was a while. That, for me, that whole old school thing was just like, I had never been on a set before. So for me, I got 30 days of, it was like an internship. I was just a guy. I didn't really have anything to do other than play that guitar. Mostly I was just watching. Like, how does that work? What is that person doing?
You were doing that, yeah?
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was just like me taking in like and asking questions like, why is that person carrying that? And what is a call sheet? How does this work? So I just got like full immersion for 30 days. Like, I'd imagine it's like being a PA or something, you know, and you just get to figure it out. So I got out of that, and then the next big job wasn't until I graduated SC and went to I did a play at the Taper, the Goat, an Edward Albee play.
Yes, I saw that. the Sylvia, right?
Yeah, about the goat fucker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bro,
amazing play.
That to me was, you were in that with, there were some pretty sweet.
Cynthia Mace, who remains today one of, you know, just the greatest actors I've ever worked with. I love her so much. Brian Kerwin and James Eckhouse. Yes. Yeah, Brian Kerwin.
Wait, what? The Goat of Sylvia, what was it called?
The Goat or Who is Sylvia?
Yes.
And it's about a man who's fallen in love with a goat.
I remember my mom somehow, I think, took me to see that in
school. I just said that, and anyone who doesn't like theater but was thinking about getting into theater just went, no, I'm definitely not getting into theater. There's a play about a guy who's in love with a goat. No, I'm done. I can't do it.
It's actually, I mean, it is crazy.
It's an amazing play.
It's unreal. And you were the son.
Yeah, I was the son.
It was a big part. I remember seeing, and again, that was, it's funny to not know, and I'll just tell you now, how indirectly inspiring you can be to people.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because, you know, aside from Vinegar Tom, the amount of theater parties and just being around you and brand new theater and being chummy enough and to be connected at school like that and have enough experiences to where you feel connected.
Yeah.
To where when you got in that plane and went and saw it, it was such a old school first really was like, whoa. You know, and I hope that I think I was not in a place of like, oh man, I didn't get in it. It was like, oh cool.
That's a thing that can happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It gives you a little bit of hope, a little bit of burst, because all you're looking for is grasping on to you need validating things to go like.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Should I stick with this? Or yep. I don't know. And so
that's the best place. I have that with a lot of people who like, you know, this is industry, ton of people having different experiences. And I know I'm in a good mental place when I can pivot to like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
If that's happening to that person, then I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
Like I'm in the pocket. Something's going to happen here. I'm in the bad place when it's like, why the fuck did he get that?
Yeah. Yeah. Which everybody goes through. I mean, it's
constantly. It's like
it's human nature.
Yeah, you go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was so awesome. And you were so good. And there was it's a big ass fucking theater in LA.
Dude.
And it was just like, I can't believe, A, that I'm watching this. And then you ripped it. And so it was like, whoa. And then also what it does is, you know, makes you go, oh, man, I, you know, like you need those humbling moments too of being like, man, I ain't shit. Like, I thought I did this, you know, a couple cool things at school and whatever, but like back to the drawing board or you know, take classes more seriously post school. But but that was a big,
thing, scary thing for me because it was, I was working at the Taper again as an intern. I was serving coffee at the Taper and that play, they couldn't cast that part. And at the time I was working with a manager and he was trying to get me an audition and they were like, the coffee boy? No, he can't audition. They refused to see me. And they kept bringing I kept watching these guys come into the theater and audition and walk out and not get the part. And they wouldn't let me audition. Like weeks went by. And then finally they were just like, they had no one else. They're like, all right, I guess we'll see Patrick. And I was literally cleaning up the rehearsal hall, like after rehearsals for people in at the Taper. And so I was just so mad I was like, you won't even see me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm going to get the part, but fuck, you won't even like let me try? Like, that's not worth your time. So that put me in the right place at the right time because I was like, I'm not going to get the part. I'm just going to prove to you that like I'm worthy of being seen.
Wow.
And something about that, it was the first time I'd made that mental shift. And I went in there and I guess I crushed it because it was one of those, and probably the last time it ever happened in my life, maybe Suits was this, where it was just like, you knew, like you finished the audition and you just saw everybody kind of stop for a second, like, oh, we found it. And it's so rare that moment.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like it's in movies all the time, but it basically never happens. But there was that moment and that time. And I was like, it scared me because I was like, oh, no, I don't actually want, like, I can't actually do this. You know, like I didn't go into that audition thinking I can go be on the stage at the Taper. That's crazy. Like, I didn't feel ready for that.
Did one of the producers go, you know what? Looks like I'll be getting you coffee now.
Yes, exactly.
You got the part.
Somebody give me. I immediately turned around to the youngest person in the building and went, where's my coffee?
Yeah.
That's how quickly it went to my
head. Yeah.
So that whole experience was I felt similar. I was like, what am I doing? I was like, I cannot drop this ball, essentially, because it felt so important to me.
So Suits audition comes along. Is it one of, are you in this routine of you know, piling up guest stars and just getting into a little bit of a comfort zone of like, all right, an audition is an audition. These opportunities come and I'm getting pretty good at going like, you know, make sure I'm prepped and then like throw it away. Or was this one like, oh fuck. Cause it's, you know, easier said than done to go, oh wow, this is a great part for me and I really want this.
I was in a pretty weird place. Yes. Over the years I had started chalked up a lot of guest star stuff and I sort of, my confidence was up in that degree, but I had moved into that part. It was like, okay, I've done enough of these, like now I got to get that pilot. That's like time to, and
right.
And that's when pilot season was like a real, real, real thing.
Yeah.
And so I'd gone through a couple of pilot seasons. I think I'd gotten a couple of pilots and they'd all been just disastrous, terrible fits. And so it hadn't worked out. And then just before Suits, I had gotten another pilot and got fired after the table read.
No way.
It was the first time I'd ever had that experience. And I'm not, I had never done sitcoms before. Like, I just didn't understand the timing of it. And it was this sitcom, I forget the guy who directed it. He's a big director. It was called Friends with Benefits. And do you remember that?
I went
it ended up
that.
Coming out for, yeah, okay.
I think it was an NBC show.
Yeah.
And I think it was loosely based on, there's a
movie maybe?
With Timberlake. And
it was written by the guys who had written 500 Days of Summer.
Yes.
So that was cool to me because I thought that movie was great and they were cool. And I went in for this because my team had told me to, and I'm like, I'm not good at sitcoms. And they go like, no, it's going to be a big deal. You got to get out there. Auditioned, and the director was just really into me, but everyone else wasn't. And he kept fighting for me. And then I got the part, and we had to do the table read, and it was just a bomb. It was terrible. And it was at NBC, and it was in front of, I mean, I'm sure you've done those before, in front of all the execs.
Oh, yeah. Talk about nerves. That I get nervous for.
Horrible.
Because I feel like there's just so much, there's more judgment than there is like support.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like they're waiting. I don't know. Not that they don't want you to
succeed. You have to prove it. This is a very much a prove it environment. You better prove it. You better have what it takes. Yeah. And I think comics maybe get used to that. Like, you're in a room, you better work. I mean, again, those rooms are probably more supportive than these rooms, but you kind of live for it. I did not live for it. Mm-hmm. I felt judged and scared. And also, the script wasn't funny. Like, it was one of those scripts. I don't know if you remember if you auditioned for it, but it wasn't like, you had to do something with it.
Totally.
And my part was the straight guy. There was nothing. So I just bombed the thing. And I walked out. I went home. And, they called me and told me that they didn't want me anymore. But the director was like, but I'm not letting you go. You're going to come back and we're going to shoot scenes and we're going to show them. And I was like, at this point, I was like, dude, please don't do this to
almost
me.
Almost more embarrassing.
Yeah, don't do this to me. He made me come back, and we had this whole like afternoon where we were shooting scenes with the other main girl. Hold on.
Yeah.
Tickly throat.
Yeah, please. Yeah, there's a reason why Friends with Benefits, the script wasn't, they added with benefits because they're like, all right, we're friends. People are going to think of that. And they're like, but we're not as funny. How about with benefits?
There we go.
But there are no benefits.
Oh my God. I remember all of us who did get, I think we all ended up getting fired for the record. I don't think anyone actually made it. Like Fran Kranz was one of the guys.
Yeah.
He got fired too. And Fran Kranz is the best. I think the writers got fired. Everybody got fired. But I was the first to get fired. Anyway, we shot that thing in the back lot. And then I found out 2 days later, they're like, sorry, man, it's over. And so it was the first time I had been fired. And I had all these kind of great, I felt like my career was like doing this.
Yeah.
And then I got fired and it was public and it was in the trades and I just felt really embarrassed. And I was like, oh, it's over. Like the roller coaster's come to a stop. And it was about 6 months later, I think, maybe a little less, that I got the audition for Suits.
No way. Which just goes to show. I mean, and look, it could have been a year later, it could have been 2 years later, but it's like you just, and I don't know how you, did you quickly bounce back, or was it you let yourself sit through that probably few days to a few weeks of just like, fuck, man, like.
I was bad. I was depressed and, I always feel like I don't belong here. Like at any moment, someone's going to come away and be like, no, you cannot be here. Like you got to go. You gotta
I heard
leave.
Philip Seymour Hoffman say that.
Yeah, how do you feel? I think you're in an interesting position as a comic because you have every day, basically, you're doing something.
Right,
right?
I think there's an opportunity to get, like, to get filled up.
Yeah.
Right, as far as, like, getting laughs to that can
And even if
over.
You're not, you go to the store, you see somebody else do it. Like, you can surround, I mean, I'm just assuming, you can surround yourself with this.
With
you get your podcast.
Yep.
You can go to shows, you seem to be touring all the time. And I'm so jealous of that because I think when you're just strictly an actor,
let's get you five. You're funnier than you
get
think.
Get my tight five.
Did you ever do
loose
it?
Loose five.
Did you ever try?
Oh man.
That's got to be, right?
Oh, yeah. God, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like I said, I watch it in awe, right. In absolute
we'll figure
awe.
Figure it out.
Dude.
Be a Suits tour.
But because of that, because of the, you know, I hear Marion talk about it all the time, too. Just the gift of, like, I'm not going to just sit around. I can be in my head. That's where I live. I live in my head all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gift of having a place to go and just be out of your head and say those things out loud and be with people and feel community.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
amazing. And as actors, if you're just an actor, you just don't get that all the time. Like, when you get to be an actor, it's, like, for a very little bit of time and you're on a set and then it's over. Sometimes it's a long amount of time, too long, and you lose your mind because you're just not doing anything else.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of time that you get to be in that sort of community of it.
Did you, were you pretty in a good headspace for the Suits audition? Were you like, all right?
Yeah, I was just in a like, you know, there's that, now that it's had this like renaissance, there's this clip that's all over social media, which is like that initial interview between Mike Ross and.
Yeah.
That was the audition scene. And that scene is all about my character saying, give me this fucking job. Like, I'm telling you right now, I will work 10 times harder than anybody else. If you give this opportunity to me, there is nobody in the world who will work harder for this. I want it more than anybody, and I, like, give it to me. That was the driving force of the scene. That was the easiest thing in the world for me to do at that point. Like, that, I went into every one of those auditions and just looked at first just the casting director, then the producer, then all the producers, and I was just like, give me this fucking job, because I will work harder than anybody you've ever met. Like, I wasn't playing a role. I was just telling them how I felt, and something about that translated. And like I said, that was probably the only other audition of my life where it was just like unquestionable. I was like, nobody else can have this part. And
how soon did you,
you know, at that time, you don't know it's going to be great. You don't know. You have no idea. It was just another pilot at that time, but I was like, I connected the material, let's go. And so it was an easy job to win. Not easy, but like, it just felt connected. And then once we started shooting the pilot, I was like, whoa, this is different. Like, we all actually like each other. Like this isn't, like, most pilots I had done, it just burned out right away on reentry. Yeah. Just as soon as you start shooting it, you realize it doesn't work. And there's egos and there's people that don't get along. Like, this was immediately like, oh, we all really like each other. And we all enjoy vibing on each other and playing and improvising. And
that matters.
Yeah. And we had a showrunner who was, you know, amazing with letting us play with it and wanting it to make, like, it just all gelled. Again, that can happen, and it never works. So I didn't think for sure this is going to be a runaway hit, but it certainly felt like more the thing. And then, you know, lo and behold, one after the other, and suddenly, like, two seasons. It was around like second season, third season. We were like, oh, this is a thing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, just based on reviews or people.
I think just at that point, like, even getting a second season, you know, is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then by third season, I think we were just like, enough people, our numbers were good enough for USA that it was like, oh, this is like actually this is a hit for USA numbers. This is a hit.
It's crazy to not know, I guess, you know, every actor will say it, you know, doing a show, like, you don't know how the public's going to receive it, but the material must have been, when you're getting it day in and day out, being like, oh, fuck yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, this scene, it just, I mean,
every
scene
was
so, is so packed.
Yeah, like, there's so much in it. And again, like, and room to play, you know, which disappears a little bit over time in a weird way when you're on a show that long, because the writers are gone and they're in another place. And suddenly it's like, can you just say what's in the script? But in those first few years, it was just like, whatever we needed to do to make this scene funnier, better, like, add, we would, not that they would give us free range, but it was like, we were all coming in with that same energy we described as young people in a theater. Like, what can we do to make this scene as good as possible? Like, this scene's good. What more can we do? I could do this. I could do that. Now, granted, that ended up, you know, 15-hour shooting days, but we were all so excited and passionate in those first few years to, like, make this thing as fun as possible.
And good about keeping each other, like, would you get so comfy to where if it's like, I don't know, you wouldn't say, like, come on, man, bring it. But there was just an understood, like, you wanted to be good for the other person.
And sometimes if you weren't bringing it, like, I got you. You know, it was just like a family. It was like, we are, like, how do we make this scene work with what we've got today? Oh, you're in a bad mood today? Great, let's use that. You know, it was that kind of energy, which it's just special. I think that people always want to know, why did Suits work or what? I think that's part of the alchemy. It's like, especially in those developmental years, we were just like, in it. We were all on the front lines. We were in Toronto, away from our families for the most part.
But and you just shot, like, it in your home?
Yeah, I went home. I moved home to shoot it.
How fucking cool was that?
It was cool-ish because I had just gotten together with Troyan, who is my girlfriend, now my wife. And so that was not great, you know, being long distance for that long.
Oh,
that sucked. But if I had to go somewhere, it was cool to be Toronto.
Gotcha.
For sure.
Is there a scene, moment, you know, you said, like, a couple seasons in where you got the feeling that things were, like, clicking and ticking, but, like, just creatively or, like, going into a day, was there, like, you know, in any season, it doesn't have to be, like, the be-all, end-all moment, but something where you were, like, man, walking away from that, where you were just, like, equivalent to, like, a comic maybe feeling like you get off stage, people, you're like, fuck, dude, I was dialed in, I was so present, I was...
Like, I mean, a scene, like shooting a scene?
Yeah, that maybe was so fun or
it's such a blur. It's so weird to think about shooting, especially those first seasons, because it is such a blur. And I've never watched the show. So I've never, like...
Wait,
Yeah, I've never watched it. Wait. I've seen episodes of the show. I have not watched. I would say I've probably watched between 15 to maybe 20 episodes of Suits. Maybe. I think probably in the 15 territory. Because I can't. It's hard for me. I think it's easier to watch things in the past when I'm not shooting them. But while I was shooting it, it was horrendous for my insecurity. It made me so self-aware that it was not helpful.
Because you're walking away feeling good. Yeah, I mean, if you start dissecting something that you can't do anything about.
Yeah, like I've worked with actors that are amazing at just like watching and dialing, being I need to be a little bit more this, a little bit more that. That was funny. That wasn't. When I see myself, I'm just like, it's all a mess. This is a terrible. We should shut down production. We should all go. Like I go to such an extreme. I can't do the minute dial changing. Mm. And so I learned quickly, like, don't do it. I directed some episodes. Obviously, I had to watch in order to do that.
Yeah.
But, for the most part, I just realized it was better for my mental health to just stay away from the whole thing.
You're in good company because I heard Johnny Depp Sam Letterman once. I don't even watch any of my movies.
Yeah.
And Letterman's like, you haven't seen a chocolat? And he was like, I don't know.
Did I make that movie? I'm not sure. Was I there?
Was it before or after I drank a mega pint? Do you watch any of that trial? Do you watch bullshit like that?
I got two kids pleasure? Now, man. So yeah, dude, mazel, by the way. Thank you. What is my guilty?
If the kids are down, and you and your wife are.
We watched The Crown last night. I mean, that's not. Yeah. That's just good. Yeah. I don't know. That's guilty pleasure. That's good watching.
But are you a game show guy?
We don't watch game shows. Yeah. I try to push. Troyan's really. Anti it. I want to like. I feel like I would like The Amazing Race. I keep trying to turn it on, and we keep ending up with something else on.
Yeah.
We don't watch a lot of reality TV. We're into this show Alive. You watch that show about the people that get or Alone? Sorry, not Alive. Alone, where they get people have to like go live in the wilderness alone for like 90 days.
Awesome. amazing. There's never going to be a shortage of that because there's never going to be a shortage of people that. Want to be on TV.
Unbelievable.
Which is great.
But with these people are specific because it's not like your normal show where it's just like random person has to do it.
Oh, yeah.
These are
survivors.
You have to be like a world-class trained like outdoorswoman to be able to pull it off.
Use the knife before.
Definitely.
And not
starting fires. Yeah. You know how to like which guts of the fish to eat, like that kind of thing. Yeah, it's real. It gets very
Do you guys
real.
Watch it with an eye of like, oh, we could do that?
I desperately.
You're a power couple, so you could go on one of these shows.
I am dreaming of the celebrity version or whatever, the pseudo celebrity version of this show where they like train, you give you a little bit of training and then see how long celebrities can last in the wild. Wouldn't that be great?
Fuck
like,
yeah.
No pampering. Like you go out there, how long can you live?
Totally.
That'd be great.
Well, also, I think there's been versions of those types of shows, but it's like, whether it's celebrity rehab, it's always people and
it's
not
too,
to not
it's too creative. It's too soft.
Well,
like,
also it's like
no
you
one's
know,
in real danger. No one's
no offense, but I don't want to see Gary Busey and Jody Sweetin go to the woods.
Yeah.
I want to see Pat Adams.
Well, I might actually want to see.
Actually, that. I do. I take that terrible example, Jody. I would love to see you thrive outside
in the woods
and in the woods.
But I just don't want to see you taken care of. Celebrities are taken care of. Yeah. You're looked after. I mean, my dream is to be on Bear Grylls. Well, I don't know how.
Put it out there.
Oh my God! I just.
Oh, that.
I'm not famous enough now because there was a time when like people. Now it's like Zac Efron and Channing Tatum or whatever doing it.
You're there.
But that sort of thing, like where you're uncomfortable. Celebrities like forced to be uncomfortable.
How does Troyan deal with famous? You guys, what's bonkers? I don't know how much this gets discussed at the dinner table, but being a part of and on and significant. Roles in two of the biggest shows of all time. That's bonkers.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
It's basically all.
It's our bedtime stories
Honey,
to our
can
kids.
You believe?
How we met. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We just rehash episodes.
We don't talk about it ever. In fact, most of the time, I think we stare at each other and go, "What happened? What happened?"
Yeah. But it brought. But you know what's cool? It brought just you guys being.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, we were doing a play together, and she got Pretty Little Liars, which again, you never know what it's going to be, but at the time, you know, it was exciting. And then right after that, I got Suits. And so we were just doing this long distance relationship the entire time we were shooting those two shows.
Oh, so she was shooting Pretty Little Liars
at the same time.
Wow.
So I was in Toronto shooting Suits. She was doing Pretty Little Liars. We'd fly back every 2 or 3 weeks. We still to this day don't understand how we survived as a couple. Like it doesn't make any sense because it was hard.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
We were not like nice to each other for a lot of it. Like there would be so many reasons for us not to be together. And so we're sort of just stunned that we're like, how did we stick this out? Like, why? Like,
because you wanted to.
Yeah, I just think for me, I know for me, I was always like, well, there's literally no one cooler. I know that for a fact.
Wow.
Like, there, I could never, there's no cooler
it's
person.
Slows
than
him on
you.
Patrick always says that because that's a really there's sweet moment. That's a really.
There just isn't. She is the coolest and the most patient. And I needed a partner that was very patient with me at that time.
Did you guys commiserate over? I mean,
yeah, and that was the thing.
Together?
We could also like, we're going through this insane thing we could both relate to each other. And I think that was a big part of it. Like, you know, both of us were having this brand new experience, processing what it was to be on a big show, the responsibility of that, the terror, the insecurity, the having to look like you're having such a good time, but also half the time you're exhausted and really scared you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
All of it. Like, it's a complicated time to be on a show that's like having that moment. And so we got to, you know, help each other through that. It was a big deal.
Suits, I think, set like a record for... But with like most hours viewed,
44 billion. Well, now they record it by minutes, which is what is that? Why are we looking by minutes? When did that happen?
I mean, that's how I 44 document billion my sexual minutes. Encounters with my wife. I go, that was
six and a half minutes.
Yeah, and I'm rounding up.
Put it on the board.
To have a board. Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I truthfully am like,
can't even
it
wrap
is.
Your head
it is having. It is having some. I've been traveling a little bit recently, and like I was in Italy, and the experience of traveling was. It was as if it's so different than the first time around.
Patrick, hey,
you're
feeling
it. Yeah, yeah, my cross. Everywhere, like people
cool,
going nuts in a way that it wasn't when the show was on. So it's like, I don't know if there's a model of this happening. Certainly, there have been shows that have had like a second wind. But the degree to which this is successful right now is almost completely eclipsing the first time. It's like not even, it's like the first run of it was like the rehearsal for this.
Great way to put it.
Which is like Netflix, I guess this is like the power of Netflix is they can just like create.
Are you getting hit up by people that are discovering it for the first time? Homies or teachers?
Yeah,
or,
tons of people are cool. Just like, oh yeah, I never knew. This is really good. We're watching on season 5. Like, yeah.
So much shit. Isn't that crazy? I never knew. Because when it was on, it was a huge hit. So it was like,
but it was a huge hit with a like, very select kind of, it was not the kind of, probably for you, like not the kind of TV you would watch.
Right.
It wasn't the kind of TV I would watch.
Right.
At that time. I was not the guy scouring USA for, I was like a Sopranos guy. I was I'm not watching that. But there's something that happened, maybe the strike, maybe the pandemic, maybe there's just been so many shows that are very dark and complex. And people were like, wait a minute, where's my just 7 seasons of like kind of easygoing, you know, fair. And so
one
episode
ends, another starts.
Yeah,
I don't think I've
easy.
Watched a show that has been that much of like, I mean, when my wife got re into it and then I started like rewatching with her, I was just like you said, like with a different set of eyes, a little space.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm also, I think that's way, you know, same thing with comedy, right? Like for better or for worse, you know, your point of view, your taste, you know, kind of, you know, grow. And so you'll look back at some comedy movies, at least I will, and be like, I still think it's funny, but I definitely not the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Austin
that happens
Powers,
in comedy
I didn't
a lot.
Soak that up the way I did at that time.
That movie doesn't hold up, though. Are you talking, you right?
Yeah. I mean, not in
not
the way
to,
that.
Not to hit every, much love,
it was
love,
that
everybody.
Time for that comedy was so.
It was so good. And now you put it on now, and you're like, why is this not
totally.
Making me laugh at all?
Totally. So, and it's, and also just being more, I get older and experienced in the world to be able to like, and more around the business too, to be able to like really appreciate the show, I think adds to something because, and the acting is just so fucking good.
Oh, thanks.
It's rare too, like you said, to have a show where the acting and writing just like, you know, are scissoring each other.
We just,
that's a better way to put that, but you know, it's where they just meet up is what I meant to
you
say.
Heard it here first. I don't know. I spent a lot of time trying to dissect what went right there because obviously there's also like the well can we how do we do that again not Suits necessarily again but like what role did I do in that, what did I do right there that I could, you know, hopefully try and replicate that. And well, I just don't know what it is.
People are calling for the reboot.
Oh yeah.
Well, before we shift gears and then we'll wrap this up, we could talk all day. I did ask for some questions and you were generous to share.
Oh yeah, of course.
So I want to pull up some fan questions and
12 inches.
How did How did he like working with HRH, Duchess of Sussex? Is she as nice in person
that in.
Like in TV?
Is she as nice a person as she is on TV?
I think they phrased this wrong, but they put a smiley face with the heart emoji.
Well, here we enter the Megan zone.
We don't, and it, also you can say skip.
No. I know I can. What was the actual question?
It was, how was it working with her?
Working with Megan was terrific. Yeah. It was terrific. Yeah. She was amazing. We knew each other from one of the previous pilots I talked about that was a total disaster, terrible pilot.
That helps to go into the next show then, right?
Yeah, and I saw her at the test for Suits, and it was just like, that was all we needed. Like, oh, because I was helping, I was the first one cast on the show, and so I was part of the chemistry reads, and just having the familiarity was like, oh, yeah, let's go. Let's make this work. She crushed it in the room. There was no doubt that she had the part. And so we just got to sort of start from a very familiar place. And
cool.
She's like a dream person to have on set, to be honest. She's very low drama. She was.
Yeah.
At the time.
Cool.
It's been a while since we shot together, but
bro, yeah.
She was just like very game. She was very excited. She really wanted to like have a hit show, and she was excited to have that process.
What a crazy...
Anything I say about Megan is going to be a headline. It's funny, the mental gymnastics I do as soon as I begin a conversation about Megan, because I'm just like trying to write the headline. Like, Patrick?
Yeah.
Like, what did I just say?
Well, you're perfect.
Suit star says...
Yeah, totally.
That Megan wanted hit show. That's the headline now.
Like, well, I will say this. It is... It's such a unique thing to be so tied to someone and then have them experience what she's experienced.
And there's no, I have yet to find the like elegant, graceful path through that doesn't sound just like a soundbite, you know, that doesn't sound like this was the greatest and everybody's wonderful. Like if I'm just trying to be honest and have a conversation, there's no easy path through the conversation.
Yeah.
I'm watching The Crown right now, and we're at the Diana stuff, and not, oh God, here we go. Now I'm comparing Megan to Diana. Oh my God. But like that process of somebody who's in the limelight.
Yes.
And
also different limelight.
And you know, that you're caught up in it with them for a second. You just, for the moment that you're there talking about it, you're like, there's no winning. You're just, there's always someone can perverse a thing that you say. And,
yeah.
And the fact that it's so sort of weird and uncomfortable for me highlights like how insane it must be
1,000%
for anyone in that position.
Yeah. I don't think anyone is, it's such a unique amount of exposure. And from the outside looking in, I feel like she's handling it when I have seen interviews and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, it seems.
What would you be like in that situation? Who would you
exactly
be if everywhere you went? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, dude.
I think I'd just shut up. I would just be.
I'd Marshawn Lynch.
Now, see what I just said. Just, shut up.
Yeah.
Suit star says Megan should shut up. Like,
no, dude.
Give me a break.
No. I hear you. I would shut it down.
I would shut it down and just spend time with my family and just be like, this is all that matters to me. I don't know. And like find the things. Such an impossible situation.
Yeah.
I've done exactly what I shouldn't have done, which is opined on other things.
You were perfect.
It was terrific.
You were perfect.
And she was wonderful to work with.
Good answer. Here's one. Will you ever make a photo book? Would love to buy it. You are
a
sweet photographer and got way into that. I think I remember you taking pics in college.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd wake up and look out my window in the dorm and I'd see you snapping. And I was like, this better be for a book later in life.
You saw me snapping pictures outside your door?
That was a joke.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. You're so good. That's a professional.
Let's cut that and put it on my reel.
Yeah.
joking. But I do remember, though.
Yeah, it was right there in your window.
But I do remember, you're like, I got to see the inside of Party Tower. You stayed in, no, you didn't live in a dorm freshman year, did you?
I was in Cardinal Gardens.
Cardinal Gardens.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out.
Party Tower.
Was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
The dorm thing, I'm glad I did it, right?
Yeah. Go do it.
Because I knew people did the off-campus thing.
No, then I moved to the Medici downtown. Yeah. Remember
Kaylee
that
Smith
place?
And Taylor Webb were there.
Oh, yeah.
Right downtown. Nice. Good for you.
Didn't work for me. We did 1 year there and, did a lot of damage in that place and moved closer to campus.
Yeah. So you could be closer to the 9-0.
Yeah, we needed to be closer to the 9-0. Never went to the 9-0. Not one time. That was the club, right?
We have some plans to make.
That was the club.
It was,
the
little campus bar. The grungy.
The one downstairs?
Well, that was Traddy's.
Traddy's. That's where I went. I went to Traddy's.
John Coffey.
Yeah.
Who I just saw in Vegas.
Oh, nice.
My show.
Oh, cool.
And he was like the bartender at Traddy's.
Yeah.
Traddy's was the campus bar, and it looked like it was
out of... What a mess.
cocktail.
I that mean, it's not still there, right? That's gone.
They've reshaped it and refined it.
Turned it into like a yoga studio. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. There's another Lululemon. But the 90 was on Figueroa, and it was grungy.
That's the one I never went to. Yeah, because I wasn't in the frat scene. Were you in a frat house?
Yes, AA Pi.
Yes, I was not in a frat. Yeah.
It's okay. Nobody's perfect.
No, how was it?
I met a lot of great people.
Great parties.
I was the comedic relief, so I was able to stay friendly with everyone. And
what was that like, bridging theater and frat? Is that hard? I know a couple of people that did that, and they talked about how it was kind of difficult because they're both so kind of like insular worlds.
It was. I mean, look, somebody told me, they were like, you should just do it, because I wanted to meet as many people as possible. I just wanted to
do it all.
Yeah. And it was great in terms of like when I was in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying with Sean Daughter.
Mulvihill.
No, Daughter. Sean Daughter was leading it. Mulvihill was in it too.
Mulvihill must.
But the leads were, Daughter. I just saw him in Vegas, Jeff, glasses, big booming voice.
Jeff.
No, not Jeff. Wayne, not Wayne.
I'm so curious now.
Kids, every drug in moderation. Gabe.
Gabe Colomas.
Let's fucking go.
Gabe Colomas.
Drink five.
God, I haven't heard Gabe Colomas. How's he doing?
Great.
Oh, good.
And as bubbly and sweet as you can remember.
Great.
And who else was, we had our Lindsay and I want to say Barrett were a couple.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And Kelly Ward directed it from Greece.
Yep. Kelly Ward. I didn't know him well. I wasn't a musical guy, so I didn't know him that well, but yeah.
So I missed some hazing to be in rehearsals, so that wasn't terrible.
Mm.
But it was great because I think a lot of people, again, trying to be the funny guy in the frat, like I would, you know, I put on a wig and pretend to be a British brother from a different chapter, and so my hazing, people would be walking up and down the line, which I couldn't watch. I'd come in to make some jokes, and then they'd kick me out for like, not taking it seriously.
Right.
And so I'd walk down and be like, somebody would be like, you know, brothers, so apparently one of you guys have been talking to a girl that Matt's been talking to. And everyone was like, what the fuck?
Oh my
brothers,
God.
Please. And everyone's like up against the wall. And I'm just like, dude, I'm too high for this. And this is just like fucking weird.
Thanks,
and
goofed.
Not
goofy,
great.
Goofed.
So then I'd put on a wig and come in and be like, you know, I was downstairs and someone ate all the Fruity Pebbles in the kitchen. That's my favorite cereal. And then I was like, who knows the Fruity Pebbles theme song? And somebody would stand up and step forward and I'd sing it with them and everyone would laugh. And then I'd go, brothers, please. This is, you know, whatever. And shit like that. And then afterwards, they'd come up to me and be like, oh, dude, thanks for just fucking around.
Making it, and like, then I'd making this less serious. Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, not that, I mean, I don't agree with any of it, but there's still a way to do it and not, whatever.
Feels like your story is you're always like finding comedy, like finding ways to use comedy to like
to connect me. Yeah.
Yeah, to like make situations better for everybody.
Totally.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great.
Should I lay down? That was some great therapy.
Yeah, man. Venmo.
I'll
send it to you.
All right. Wait, so the photography though.
I would love to be short. I'd love to. Photography is a passion. I'm doing it a lot less now that I have two kids. I mean, I'm shooting a lot of pictures. It's just of you know, my two daughters, but I hope to in the future do something like that. I just have to find the right sort of project to coalesce around it.
Is there something that
I've done a lot of pictures of suits? I always dreamt about doing a suits book. That's complicated because it's on the set and NBC Universal, and then you know they own
jam with them. No,
so at some point I always thought about trying to put together a lot of my behind the scenes photographs. There,
you have a ton.
I have tons. Oh, tons,
Pat,
tons.
The time is now.
Yeah, we're trying to
waiting
figure
for
out
the
what it is.
Second wave of billions of hours
we're,
watched.
Where I. We're
when
talking,
there's trillions of hours, then we'll talk
well, we're
about
talking
it.
About trying to do one of these watch podcasts for Suits, which we haven't really talked about before, but you heard it here first. We're trying to pull that together, which I won't say more about because we're still in the early stages of it, but I think things like that we're trying to imagine maybe. They all coalesce around
fully
that.
Fully support. If you look at the Office Ladies, even my boy Lamorne Morris with the new girl, I mean, it's like people are all about that.
Yeah. And it's there's the part of it to take advantage of what's happening now, but I think there's also, like I said, I haven't watched it. Like, it's not a rewatch. It is like an opportunity for me to really like, if there's a lot of, even though it was this amazing experience, there's a lot of Suits that was left in the past. It was just like, wow, that was a crazy thing.
Yeah.
That's like, now I'm moving forward and I haven't done a lot of like real going over it and processing it and talking about it and watching it and enjoying it and really like taking it all in. So, you know, it's this format that seems to have become popular actually feels like a really good way to maybe get into that.
Oh, then you'd be you'd be getting to discover that
for live the first time
with the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, just to go back to what you're saying about like finding something to, you know, creatively kind of have, like, what a great thing, The Hang, first of all, like with, you know, castmates to do that is feels like it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah,
and you're really good at it. Yeah. I mean, like, you're crushing it today. So it's like that would be, you'd be segueing into something where I think it would just be.
I think, again, what we were talking about too, though, a thing to do.
Yes.
I need that more.
Yeah.
Photography is a part of it. Like, I can go, but it's still very lonely and isolating. Yep. I think it'd be really fun to have, like, this is so cool.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Look at this, that you have a space you can come, you talk to people that you love and just riff and kill a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that sounds
also,
like,
and then having guests on periodically that are fans, that are like the way that, I don't know if you ever listened to Dana Carvey and David Spade's SNL podcast, but, you know, it's a great idea because whether it's somebody that hosted or even auditioned.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe you guys get somebody that's a pretty cool, you know, a working actor that almost was up for something or just as a fan and has questions for you guys. That's a cool way to
Kind of play it. Totally.
All right, one more and then
one more question.
All right, how you doing on time?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
About 10 more minutes.
Troyan's calling.
Okay.
I should answer it on the air.
Yeah, go for it if you want.
You're on the air.
Hey, Troyan.
Wait, can you hear it? She can't hear. Can you
turn
hear
it up? Turn
Wait,
up.
Hold on. I'm in a speaker.
Yeah, speaker. There you go.
Oh, no.
You're on the air.
Hi.
I'm on
Why
the
are
air.
You interrupting me at work?
No.
I told
so
you
sorry.
This is really important for me.
It was in the calendar. You know what the funny thing is?
What?
Is I literally, as I was calling you, I was like, there is something. He is in something.
There is.
What
he
is
doing
it?
Something.
Is very busy.
Is everything okay? Are our kids alive?
And yeah.
Everything?
Let's check
Dude,
on that.
I called you to ask if you wanted to add anything to the grocery list. This sucks. I'm so
this
sorry.
Is good.
We will edit Hard this out. It was podcast. Nice to meet you. Dear God. No. Yeah. Wait.
I'm
wait.
So embarrassed.
Wait, Troyan. I don't know if you can hear me.
Can you hear Adam?
Can you hear me screaming in the back?
Yeah, I can't hear Adam. Hey.
Pleasure to meet you. Hope to meet you live in the flesh. Real quick, what's on the grocery list up to this point, and what do we think, Pat? Let's play a little game.
What is Patrick going to put on the grocery list?
Hosted by Mario Lopez.
So, here's the exciting news. I've done most of the Thanksgiving shopping.
Oh, God.
It's so really exciting. Just supplementary stuff.
Mm,
we're
cool.
going to add some flour to it,
okay.
Some kids' cough medicine to try to kick those colds that
we've
all got.
Don't lie, that's for you guys.
Yeah, we get hopped up on kids' cold medicine. That's our
you know
thing.
What I mean? Yeah. It's a Tuesday night, baby. The thing I was going to call Patrick about is because I...
The laxatives.
It's the laxatives. I don't eat meats, and I constantly am like, what kind of steak and how much do you want me to buy for you? Can you please describe it to me in
You're
detail
so, sweet.
So I don't
Can
mess
you describe
up?
To me the steak?
You're so sweet.
I will call you momentarily with all of the steak details.
I don't deserve the steak details. You can text them to me.
All right. I love you.
It's lovely to meet you, Adam.
So nice Happy to meet podcasting. You. I feel like I know you through Patrick and also through through television, but we'll all kick it at some point. I've been harassing him to come to a show soon, so maybe you guys can make a night of it and come to a show, and we'll do a dinner, or we'll just go over your grocery list for next Thanksgiving.
That'll be part of the show. We'll open for him with our grocery list routine. I think it's pretty tight already.
We're pretty close to getting Patrick on stage, so I don't know how you feel.
Sound pretty tight. We're gonna show up ripped on kids' coffee. <Yeah. It's-
laughs> Good callback. You are a comedy family.
All right, I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
bye.
I'm getting off the air.
Okay,
bye.
See ya.
Bye. Love you.
Wow, rock star. I mean. Let me just say this too real quick. My wife, we were watching some interviews last week, and there was one of you guys, and it was, I think, on a new show, and somebody said something, and then she gave you a look. Oh, as you guys were trying to figure out it was a BuzzFeed thing.
Oh,
about
I remember that BuzzFeed
the,
thing.
The dates of each other's birthdays or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she did this like really adorable look in the way she looked at you, and I looked over my wife, and she was just like this.
Oh.
She says this a lot. I love love. And she just was, and she just looked over at me. She goes, "They're so cute," and she also just adores both of you. So it was a really sweet moment.
Well,
I had to relay that.
I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah,
we gotta do dinner.
Yeah, we will
get some cough medicine.
really funny, dude, for to throw it back like that.
Third
gets
throwback.
Me pumped.
No, I think a third throwback is milking it now.
No, it's, I mean, they always say the rule of three.
Okay, good.
She did, yeah. See, she did
so
two.
So mine was the funniest.
Yeah.
Okay, for sure, for sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. Oh, you're funnier.
Don't get me wrong.
All right, let's see. Love this. Shit.
Find the one in there that makes you the most sweatiest to ask me, like the scariest one.
Man, well, which quote or quotes used to use from the Suit series?
No,
or which one's most
no,
known?
No, come on. Not to offend.
Yeah. What was the best scene? Nope. Come on. Come bigger than that. That's what
come
she said.
Bigger than that?
Sorry, we'll edit this out. wonder if you always want to be an actor? Nope. Shut up. Is Harvey as good in bed as they say? How good was the Suit soundtrack? Photograph.
They're not.
Oh, here we go. As a person, do you have anything in common with Mike Ross?
Yeah.
Great. Moving on. what was your favorite episode? No. Let's see. Ask him about the can opener. Best thing about being a father. I mean, we haven't gotten to that. How about this? I want to come back to that, and then we'll get out of here. Fuck. What do you head back? Death Romeo. Jesus Christ.
Death Romeo.
That's episode two of this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
The scene that you and Gabriel smoking weed at your house, did you and Gabriel really high? Because acting.
We've gotten that
so
before.
Much. Okay.
Because it was so real, because we were so good acting.
Yeah.
Great acting.
You had some drunk scenes too that are. You're really good at that. I mean, you're a great actor. If Suits had a 10th season, what would you want the plot to be like? How much. That's fucking. Now we're getting into. You know, I don't know if you can talk about that. If you had to solve legal cases using only dad jokes, what would be the go-to joke to win the courtroom's favor?
That's an impossible question.
Okay.
What's your favorite dad joke? No, I don't have any good. No. I can't do that. I don't know.
Statement given. What was it like being on the road with your family? Living in on the road with your family, like living in a van and just.
Oh yeah, we
road
did a road
tour?
Trip. Yeah, we did a little road trip.
There we go. Because that segues into my dad question.
Oh, okay. We just did 9-day camper van trip. With two dogs and two kids, and camped the whole way. We went to Toronto. That was cool. That was hard. It was hard. Two small kids and two dogs.
How old are they?
5 and 2. Wow. And one of our dogs is 16 years old. So old, and they're not like wild. Sorry. They're not good wild animal dogs. They're both like indoor scared dogs. So it was intense, but it was great. Being a dad rules. It's hard. It's really hard, and it's really amazing. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Can't imagine. Sure. Like, is it truly one of those like life before, or is it just?
Oh yeah, completely different.
Wow,
completely different. In mostly good ways, you know. We definitely spit like you talk about what Troy and I do across the table. A lot of times, it's just like, remember, like what a Saturday night used to look like compared to now. Like we're just picking up food off the ground. But the truth is, like when you get there. And you're picking your kids' food up off the ground. You're just like, this is the coolest.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Anything that one of your daughters has done recently that just melted your heart or that was funny, you know what I'm saying? Where that age, 5 and 2, at least from harkening back to my nieces at that age, 5 is just like, oh, dude, like, I couldn't wait to be around them to hear some funny sound bites.
It's so hard. She just, my youngest, Elliot, is just entering like the cutest phase now. And it's just a lot of like, hey, Papa, you okay, Papa? Just little things like that, and like out of nowhere, are you okay, Papa? I'll be like, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. You're like, okay, good, Papa. But when she doesn't get her way, I don't know where she learned this, but when she doesn't get her way, she does this now. She just crosses her arms and like gets into this little ball and then just like shrugs. And it's the cutest thing in the entire world. But they're my kids. I mean, everything's cute.
Yeah.
They're your kids. They can do no. They can do wrong.
They have, and they better.
We
not
just again. Got through a stomach flu, and we were all vomiting for 3 days. So that's that's a different version of it. But it's the best. Are you guys gonna do it?
We are very close. Jess, did the something just sounded like it turned it up a little bit. Maybe the mics or
right
the
from the beginning we were like turn it up. No, yeah, it's like no, it's, whoa.
You did? Yeah, you turned us a little. Yeah, we're a few minutes away. There we
is
go.
That perfect. His way of telling us. He's like,
he's like, you know what?
Wrap
enough
it up,
of
guys.
This actor talk, dude. You guys are boring.
Nobody
we get it. You're
cares.
Friends. Cool. thanks, Jesse. All right, we're gonna wrap this up. Oh yeah, we're thinking about kids. Probably a year or two away.
Great.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know what it's like in your world because you have to do so much traveling, it seems.
Yeah,
like you're on tour a lot. But.
And I would scale that back, and I think that's why I so badly want to finally be on a show consistently
where
so
you're
I could
just
be here
one
for a
place,
while. Yeah. And but I am obsessed with my nieces and nephew, and I love all my friends' kids, the ones that laugh at my jokes. And no, but yeah, it's definitely terrifying. And we both are products of divorce, so I think there's even more of a...
Yes.
We're just scared.
Us too. Yeah. But there's real healing in that. The best part about having kids is the part where they talk about you're really getting to be... You're reparenting yourself, that part of things. Like the things that...
Whoa.
Like the part of you that didn't... Whatever you didn't get. You know, I had amazing parents and I got a lot, but there's always something. There's something that got missed and you didn't get exactly what you needed. And whatever that thing is, when you get to really intentionally give it to your kid, it does something to you. Mm. Suddenly that part of you that missed that or wasn't working, it heals it in a pretty amazing way. So that's one of the huge gifts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also hear this from, you know, comics. I mean, my mom selfishly is like, do it before you can't get around and play on the ground and before she's too old to enjoy it. And also some comics tell me it's a club where you're just like, people respect you more when you're like finally in that pocket. And I know people that, you know, I mean, there's Gaffigan with six kids, I think. And
he's
then,
got six kids. Yeah,
and then I got buddies that are, you know, musicians that tour that have three, and then comics with, but they all, you know, it's, yeah. So
I figure it out.
Totally.
There's always, you always figure it out.
My problem is, which is probably something I need slowing down, but I think is knowing that I would do that. And that scares me a little bit.
That you would do what?
Just take my foot off the pedal a little bit with all this stuff. But there's probably.
I don't see that you have a foot off the pedal. I don't know you that well because it's been a while, but from what I see, you don't have a.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. Maybe it'd be
good.
You
love to work.
Yeah.
You love it.
Love it. And it's still love.
Born hustler.
Yeah. Oh,
natural.
Name of my special. I haven't titled
natural
it yet.
Natural born hustler.
What a
have you already
title.
Filmed it?
Yes.
Where'd you do it?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Dude.
Yeah.
Why there?
There's a great club there called Comedy on State. And I just, you know, I've done a handful of small, I'm not a full theater act yet. And the club is just my spot right now. And
for who is, did you do the special?
So we'll shot it and then we'll shop it to, we'll go to Netflix first.
Great. And I've. Is that normal, or is it normal that like Netflix has it right from the beginning?
How they used to do that, and now they're acquiring again.
Got it. Okay.
Amazon does that too, and then there's a lot of new places out there. This place called like Moment and Veeps is a place where comics are now, you know, it's a thing where the way that like Louis C.K. would put it on his site for $5, it's one of those places where they house it, do a whole thing, and so people are going there too. Netflix is still the gold standard, though. It's
Got
just
it.
Where people, you know, in the most eyeballs. So going to go there first. I'm proud of it. Got a few more edits to make, and it
Dude,
looks great.
I'm so
and
for you.
My mom flew out to introduce me, so thinking about calling it Thanks
no
Mom.
Way. Really?
But then there's a great joke in there about my 9-year-old nephew, about him. It's this whole thing about how he's the son of my white rapper brother-in-law, Dirtay, and my sister's. I do something. I go, my sister's fucking a guy named Dirtay. How's your 2023 going so far? I do a bunch of stuff about him, but Jackson, my nephew, does this thing where he runs up to me, hits me in the dick, and then goes like and subscribe, and then runs out of the room. So that's a start of a bunch of stuff. So some people were telling me I should call it like and subscribe, but that feels too gimmicky.
Like maybe you're in the
And then too soon, I thought about, because Harlan Williams, you know Harlan Williams?
Yeah.
Something about Mary Half-Baked.
Yeah, yeah.
We always joke, when we say too soon to each other on stuff, it's not too soon.
Right,
it's just
right,
a funny
right.
dumb thing.
Right,
and
right.
So part of me is like, oh, that could be an attention-grabbing one, but too also soon. A funny thing to...
God, naming the special.
Yeah.
It's an art. It's
yeah,
an art.
You don't want to fuck it up. But also, you know, I say fuck yeah and hell yeah a lot, so maybe that people have told me, just like hell yeah. But that also feels... Then it's... Yeah, thanks mom. I like, because my mom intros me, and what my
and
wife,
it's like thanks mom for like
yeah.
I don't know, here we are.
I mean, I talk about
none of this is happening.
Single mom,
you.
You know, just you know, champion the dreams.
Everybody
and
loves
supportive.
A mom call
yeah,
out.
I think so,
dude. I'm so proud of you, man.
Thanks,
it's really cool to see what you've done, and
bro,
I can't imagine.
Likewise.
I can't imagine how hard this world is to crack, and it's just been really cool to, from the sidelines, watch you kind of just. Climb it over and over and over again.
Thanks,
and
brother.
Just crush it.
Oh, man.
And then to hear about all the amazing people, like just to see, like, again, I told you, I've just been checking into what you're doing, and it's like, oh my God, you're with the greats. You're right up there with everybody right
Thanks,
now.
Brother.
Like it's, it seems like
it
the community
ends.
Is really like,
yeah, it's
put their arms around you and welcomed you in a way that totally makes sense. It's cool.
Man, I love you.
Yeah, dude.
Well, it's,
we didn't even get to the Middle East.
Wait, next,
we
you know
had,
what? We had
I
a,
had all these talking
I
points.
Had Middle East and suits questions, and I somehow reversed it.
I thought we were going to
yeah,
get
we
to
will.
That.
Yeah, we will. Part two.
Okay, next
I love you for making time. We're going to close this out real quick with a Inside the Actor Studio questionnaire. 10 quick questions to get to know Patrick J. Adams.
No.
I'll be playing James Lipton. Here we go. There's no wrong answer. I'm here with Patrick J. Evans. Patrick, what is your favorite word?
Bequeath.
What the fuck does that mean?
To bequeath knowledge or
yes, that's
impart.
Right. What is your least favorite word?
Queef.
Yes. I know what that means.
I know all too well what that means.
I named my cat Queef. She wouldn't stop. What turns you on?
Spontaneity.
Great answer. What turns you off?
Willful ignorance.
Mm. What?
I'm answering these really seriously.
These are great. There's no right or wrong answer. What is your favorite curse word?
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's just basic. I'm a basic bitch.
It's do you go motherfucker, like, or is it you,
no,
you hit the
motherfucker?
Yeah, you got to do it. It's strong too. It's
just an old standard.
Yeah. It is. We're of the old
it
school
the
curse.
Work. Yeah, yeah. I don't
community.
Need anything fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll no even take a good
whistles.
Like, God damn it.
God damn it.
You know? Yeah, it's got a lot of oomph to it.
Yeah, actually, God damn it gets a lot of play.
It does.
Yeah, that's true.
I imagine like somebody on a lawn, like a kid leaving a toy out, you step on
on
something.
A little Lego. God damn it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's also, through the gritted teeth.
Through
is
the
key.
Gritted teeth. Great special title. Through the gritted teeth. But I'm not a dad, I'm a dog dad. What sound or noise do you love?
My kids laughing.
Great. What sound or noise do you hate?
Leaf blowers.
Yeah. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Photographer.
What profession would you not like to do?
Politician.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? Perfect.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Great answer.
Yeah, no, you're here. No, it's too soon. We got it wrong. You got to go back.
Patrick,
man, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so
bro,
much.
Bro, I love you
Let's
so much.
Let's do it again sometime. We'll get to the Middle East.
Guys,
we'll get there.
Suits, you know where it is. Also, we didn't get to, but The Right Stuff on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You as John Glenn. I mean, yeah. Part
Be
two.
Be one of the 15 people that watch it. Get there.
Phenomenal.
We need more.
Hilarious.
I'm still hoping for that second season.
And you're a good follow on the gram too, Patrick J.
Thanks,
Adams.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Please follow along. I mean, I'm kind of off of it at the moment, but
you'll be back on
tenuous.
Soon. There could be reasons to be back on soon in
Maybe.
The near future.
Hopefully.
Grocery list post could be people might want to see it.
It's very
here's what's crazy about
hitting stuff over.
Here's
the
what's crazy about your fame and notoriety. Even just posting something like that from this podcast. Whether it's connected or not, people would be like, the stars are just like us.
Yeah.
They do their own shopping.
They have to pick their meats.
That's what we're going out on. Good night, everybody.
Good night.